Yes, welcome back to Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. We were treated to El Clasico last night, but there are just as big games this evening in France and in Germany. And it's in France where we're going to stop next. I'm delighted to be joined by a good friend of the show and French football broadcast legend, Mr. Matt Spiro, joining us. How are you doing, Matt? It's been a long time since we had you on. It's a pleasure to have you back on World Football Daily, mate.
Thank you very much. I'm doing much better now that I've been called a broadcast legend. I think that's the first time in my life, in my career, so I feel good. I feel good now.
Well, we like to buddy you up before we get into the difficult questions. And of course, it was a difficult weekend for plenty of teams, especially in the bottom half of the table in Ligue 1 this week. Brest, the only side in the bottom half, able to pull off a big win against Bordeaux. Huge opportunity for Brest just to move themselves away from the relegation battle this week.
Absolutely. They hadn't won for a very long time. Their coach, Landry Chauvin, was coming under an awful lot of pressure. And I don't think too many people expected them to win away to Bordeaux, even though Bordeaux are having a few problems. They were beaten 4-0 by Lyon the previous week, but got a good result in Europe, eliminating Dynamo Kiev. So, you know, it was expected that Bordeaux would win that game. Terrific result for Brest, who took their chances, defended in great numbers, as they do very well. And Bordeaux didn't have the creativity. But you're right, it's looking very bleak for some clubs, for Troyes and for Nancy, who are cut adrift a little bit, the bottom two clubs. And then you've got Evian-Thon and Gaillard, who are on a horrible run, 9 matches without a victory. Their coach offered his resignation. The offer was turned down. But they're having big problems. They lost 1-0 to Montpellier. So at the moment, it's those three in the relegation zone. Stade de Reims as well, struggling quite badly. I thought they were very disappointing last weekend, having played pretty well to get a draw against Saint-Etienne. They were very poor last weekend, losing away to Nice.
This fall of Bordeaux, because they started so well at the beginning of the season, were up in and around the European spots. Do you blame a lot of it on their Europa League campaign? I mean, obviously knocking out, as you say, Dynamo Kiev, but is it taking its toll on their league form?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to realise that Bordeaux, you know, like a lot of French clubs, they're in big financial trouble. They've barely signed a player for 2 years now. They've managed to bring in Diego Rolan, a young striker, to replace Johan Gouffran, who's joined Newcastle. But the squad is pretty much the same as it was last season. They lose the odd player. They got a very good coach in Francis Gillot. So I think they were probably a little bit above their station when they were sort of in the top five earlier this season. They don't have the squad like you said. They rode their luck a bit against Dynamo Kiev. That was a great result. I don't particularly fancy them against Benfica in the next round. Fingers crossed they play well, because they're the only French team left in the Europa League. But Bordeaux are a team that I think were Gillot was getting the best out of them in the first half of the season, and they're labouring now, which is not a big surprise.
There's plenty of silly mistakes as well in that Bordeaux loss to Brest on the weekend, and really kind of thing that you wouldn't expect from professionals in general to be on running such a problem, but Bordeaux do seem to just have these moments of lapses in concentration more than anything else.
Yeah, it's a funny club. I mean, historically they're a big club, but they don't really have the fan base. You know, like a lot of clubs in southwest France, a lot of people follow rugby more than they follow football. The players at Bordeaux say that it's quite a nice, relaxing place to play your football, but you don't necessarily feel the pressure that you would if you were at Marseille or at PSG. And sometimes, you know, they rest on their laurels a bit. They go to sleep occasionally, and you know, it looked like they turned up in that Brest game tired from the Europa League match, and perhaps thinking that they could sort of go through the motions and get a victory against Brest, who everybody's beating at the moment. And it wasn't the case, and they don't have the fans there sort of to keep them going or to lift them when things aren't going well. So it's a funny club. The potential is there. They're moving into a new stadium soon, and that's going to be a big step, because they need to have a competitive team to be able to attract people. It's all well and good to have a good new stadium, and the current one is very old, and it's a big problem. But it's going to be up to Francis Gillot to try to build a good team, and it's positive for them that they've got Gillot to extend his contract in January, because he is a good coach, and there were suggestions he would be joining Lille. So, you know, that's a positive, but there is work to be done for Gillot at Bordeaux.
Now, you mentioned, Matt, of course, Bordeaux still in the Europa League, and the only side in it now, Lyon, have been knocked out. Lyon, though, have really just upped their game in their last few games. Of course, against Tottenham, they lost at White Hart Lane, but still an impressive performance and were unlucky to go out. And very strong against Lorient as well as that big win against Bordeaux. Has the Europa League just boosted the spirits and given them that belief once again to get the best out of their players?
I don't know, possibly. I think they just had a bit of a dip that came as well because of tiredness, because they have a small squad compared to Paris Saint-Germain. They had a couple of really disappointing results, losing to Ajaccio in particular. And you're right, I think the game at White Hart Lane, Lyon really came back strongly in that second half. Umtiti got that brilliant goal. And there was, I think that was a key moment for them, even if they had the disappointment of Gareth Bale scoring a last-minute winner. And then again in the second leg, they conceded a late goal to Dembele, which knocked them out. But since then, their league form has been excellent. There were certain issues with Lyon. They got a very good, talented young team, but the leaders have gone missing a little bit. And I'm thinking notably of Lisandro Lopez, who's been sulking a bit because he hasn't been playing centre forward. He's struggled with injuries this season, but he was picked as the centre forward against Lorient. Played really, really well. Got the all-important equaliser, and that could be significant. Lyon, I wouldn't say they're looking unstoppable, but they're looking like they're going to pick up a lot of points between now and the end of the season, and that suggests to me that we're going to have an interesting title race, despite what everyone thinks. You know, everyone keeps saying, "Oh, it's going to be an easy win for PSG. They'll finish well clear," but you know, Lyon have got plenty of winnable games. They've got a home game against PSG to come as well, so it could be interesting, I think.
And PSG haven't been that world-beating side that we've expected to see this season, and showed plenty of frailty against Marseille as well this weekend, Matt. How unlucky were Marseille not to get something out of that? Because especially in the second 45, seemed to be having the majority of the quality play of that game.
I'd say they were a bit unlucky. You know, if you look at the stats, they're stacked in favour of Marseille. They had a lot more possession, many more shots on target. But luck only plays a certain part. I think PSG played, if you like, a fairly Italian game. You know, they defended what they had. They played on the counter-attack. Lavezzi was absolutely electric and caused real, real problems to the Marseille defence. Latan was having another fairly subdued evening. From that point of view, I think PSG played tactically quite well. But no doubt that Marseille will have regrets, because they had some good chances. But Salvatore Sirigu was absolutely superb in goal for Paris Saint-Germain.
How important has Sirigu been for this side in general throughout the whole season? Can you relay the emphasis that he's had on this team being where they are? Because he has got them out of jail a number of times this season, it's been felt.
Yeah, he cost them a little bit in the league game against Sochaux. He let in a bit of a soft shot. PSG lost 3-2, but you're right. 95% of the time, he's been faultless. He's a very steady presence, and I think he's a good man. I think he's a good team man, and that helps. He's been very quick to learn French. There are plenty of Italian speakers at PSG, but I think he's a bit of a link between the French players and the Italian players. And I think he's not only a good goalkeeper, but a good man in the dressing room. So, very, very positive impact overall, I'd say.
This PSG side, you say you thought it wasn't as unlucky, Marseille, to be on the losing end of that game, but it still had plenty of critics throughout the year as well. What do you think needs to complete the picture here? Is there a problem with Ancelotti in this squad, or is it maybe just players not rising to occasion on sometimes?
I think it's players who are not necessarily motivating themselves properly for league matches. I mean, if you watch the game they played away to Valencia, it was easily PSG's best performance of the season. They could have won 4-0, and they were very unfortunate, or perhaps not ruthless enough, and the 2-1 result was very flattering for Valencia. 2-1 to PSG it finished. If you look at the way Pastore played in that game, he was absolutely superb, running his socks off, and he just doesn't do that in Ligue 1, and that makes me think that there is a problem in terms of the way these guys are getting themselves ready and getting themselves motivated. There's a lot of individual players, is what we said all along. You know, Jeremy Menez is having a bit of a sulk these days because he's lost his place in the starting 11. We know all about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's, you know, been absolutely sensational this year, but since the start of 2013, he's been a little bit off colour, and I think that rubs off on the other players as well, because he's making mistakes, and he's being Zlatan as well, which means yelling at everybody and blaming everybody except for himself. So you know, it's still not, you know, you could see that Marseille collectively were better than PSG. PSG won the game, as they're winning a lot of games, through their individual talent.
Matt, what do you make of the hoopla before the game as well? I saw pictures of the red carpet outside the Parc des Princes for the arrival of Beckham and the PSG players. And what do you make of the impact in general of Beckham's arrival there with the media circus that it brings already around a side with so much money and talent in it?
Well, I think we're going to learn a lot more tonight about David Beckham, what sort of conditions he's in, because he's going to have a tough night. He's starting in the French Cup game against Marseille. Played 15 minutes on Sunday and he looked okay. He used the ball fairly well. He didn't look like the pace was too much for him, and he had a little bit of a part to play in the second goal as well. You know, the noise around David Beckham is inevitable, and I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, on Sunday the whole world was watching Ligue 1 when David Beckham made his debut for Marseille, and that's a good thing for Ligue 1. And I think he has this respect as well. You know, he's a world star, and of course a lot of that comes from his image, you know, off the pitch, and the fact that he's a fashion icon as well. But he's not a big-headed bloke, and I think in terms of the PSG dressing room and the problems I was talking about, you know, egos and individuals, I think it can only be positive. And so long as he's capable of holding his own on the football pitch, then, you know, I can only see the Beckham signing being positive for Paris Saint-Germain, and especially for French football.
Matt, I might be accused of reading a little too much into this, but when Beckham and Ibrahimovic embraced Ibrahimovic after that second goal late on to give PSG the 2-0 win on the weekend, it didn't seem like Zlatan was too elated to be celebrating with Beckham, who obviously had a big smile on his face. Is there anything in that at all? Because we know about Ibrahimovic is maybe his ego, and the Beckham train coming in maybe just stamping on Ibrahimovic's kind of glamour around the place at all?
Look, we know what happened at Barcelona. Zlatan wasn't happy with Messi being the big star. Zlatan likes the attention. He wants the attention, probably needs it. But I don't think it's a big problem. You know, if Beckham starts stealing the headlines by scoring free kicks and by scoring goals, then that, you know, he might get his nose out of joint. But as long as Zlatan is the star on the pitch, I mean, I think his reaction may have been related to the fact that he had a really poor match. So, you know, and the goal, it just kind of bounced in off his knee. It was hardly a brilliant Zlatan goal, so he wasn't going to go mad about it. But the moment did show that Beckham still has it, because as Paul Scholes, I think, wrote in his autobiography, David Beckham is what he's best at is being the first at every goal celebration. And he's always there, that's what Scholes said, to celebrate with me in the photos. And that showed that he was perfectly placed to make a couple of yards up and leap into Zlatan's arms, and the headlines were there, the photos were there for the next day in the newspapers. So Bex, he's still got it, he's still got that knack of knowing where to be when the goal goes in.
How important is tonight's game in terms of PSG's season? Do you see them resting at all in the cup? Obviously a huge game against Marseille tonight in Paris. How do you see them approaching this one differently compared to the weekend?
Well, I think Ancelotti's going to freshen things up a little bit. But he's putting out a very strong team, and the thing is, he can afford to freshen things up. Elie Boek can't. He's got a much, much smaller squad, and Marseille will play pretty much the same team. Ancelotti's got Marco Verratti suspended, so that means Beckham is going to start. He's starting with Zlatan again. Kevin Gamero, I'm told, is playing alongside Ibrahimovic. Menez is coming in, but, you know, these are guys, these are French internationals. These are really good players who are trying to win their place in the starting lineup. So, you know, if Lavezzi doesn't feature, that is definitely a bonus for Marseille, because he is at the moment the most dangerous PSG attacker. And Ancelotti knows that he's got a league game this weekend, a tricky game against Reims, and then, of course, the Champions League second leg against Valencia. So he wants to keep things ticking over. But PSG have made it clear the cup is important to them. They want to try and win the three trophies, three competitions they're still in. I think Ancelotti is wary of the fact that a defeat in the cup game could have repercussions as well. So, you know, if they knock Marseille out, get into the quarterfinals, there are some big teams already out of this competition, it would be looking very, very good for a victory in this trophy that PSG traditionally cherish and traditionally do very well in.
Is there at all the same build-up as we had for the weekend's game in the French press at the moment, Matt? I mean, we saw the Barton versus Beckham, the angel versus devil type pictures on the front page of the French press. Is there anything similar on the build-up tonight with Beckham's first start, potentially?
No. I think everybody went all out for the weekend. clash between Beckham and Barton. The talk more has been about Paris Saint-Germain and possible issues, possible sort of problems. There's been a lot of talk about Zlatan and and his form. Talk about how Beckham is going to fit in and the impact that he has on the changing room, on the spirit in the team. So I think from that point of view, it's maybe not being hyped up as much at the weekend, but in many respects, it's going to be more revealing, more important. We're going to see Beckham from the start here, and we're going to see a Marseille team that really want revenge, because they've stayed in Paris the last few days. They've had to live with all the gloating of the Parisians. They felt that they were very hard done by, and they know now that they can compete and perhaps enjoy more possession than PSG, and they know they have to be more ruthless. So I think we can expect a bit of a backlash, a bit of a reaction from Marseille this evening.
What about, just quickly, Matt, before we let you go, of course, we're building up PSG so much, and they've got the Champions League coming up as well. But there's a very informed side at the moment in Saint-Etienne in Ligue 1 as well. Not much being said about this side that I think haven't lost this calendar year yet in French football. How far can Saint-Etienne push up this league table as people like Marseille stumble and we see maybe Lyon could possibly go through another bad patch again?
Well, yeah, you're right. They've only dropped 2 points so far in the league. They beat Lille in the French Cup last night. They're playing really good football. They were playing really good football in the first few months. Then they had a big dip. They had a dip when Brandao was out injured. And I think that's significant because their star player, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who is a superb player, incredibly fast, and a player who I think is developing at a really good rate. I think, in a year or two, I can see him at one of Europe's top clubs. He thrived playing alongside Brandao and struggled a little bit. Brandao, a big physical player who occupies the defenders and creates space for players like Aubameyang around him. So you look at Saint-Etienne now, and I think most definitely they can put pressure on Marseille. Marseille, having lost at the weekend, they're only 1 point above Nice, 2 points above Saint-Etienne. And Marseille currently occupying the last Champions League spot, which is third place in France. So given Saint-Etienne's form, I mean, Nice are doing incredibly well. You would expect them to drop more points than Saint-Etienne and Marseille between now and the end of the season. You never know, but, just in terms of the quality and squad size, I think Saint-Etienne have got the best bet the best chance to overturn Marseille and to finish it in the top three. Christophe Galtier is doing a super job at Saint-Etienne.
Is there not a worry at all that maybe at the end of this season, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang could potentially be pilfered, as we see so many players get pinched in the summer transfer months from Liga?
No, there's not a worry. There's an inevitability about it. I think people know that he's going to go. I think there was a fair amount of talk that he was going to go in January. Newcastle made a concrete bid for him, like they did pretty much every Ligue 1 player. But Aubameyang, I think, has his sights set higher, and I think he's right to set his sights higher. And I think a lot of top clubs in Spain and England are looking at him. That's life in France, I'm afraid. And you ask Christophe Galtier, is this a worry for you? Your plans, you're going to have to rebuild your attack, this summer. And he fully accepts that the reality of the situation. They'll get at least 15 million euros, possibly more if he does well between now and the summer. And Aubameyang has said that he might consider staying if Saint-Etienne qualify for the Champions League. That would be great if they could, and if they could keep him. But, until the financial situation changes, until the French teams are in their big stadiums and the TV revenues are higher than they are now, French clubs, apart from PSG and possibly Monaco, are going to have to accept that, when a player gets as good and as highly rated as Aubameyang, he will leave. And, that, I'm afraid, is the situation, and it's good. Even though it's sad and it's difficult for Saint-Etienne, it's good for French football, it's good for Saint-Etienne because they need the injection of cash that his sale would get.
Matt, it is unfortunate that this is the way of French football, but it is, as you say, it is the way, and nothing will, I don't think, will change that for a while. Is there any hope at all of this inevitability ending at all, and French football finally starting to build its way up as German football has done over the last maybe 5-6 years or so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're starting from quite a long way back, but you've got the big hope is the situation with the stadiums, because the clubs, a lot of them, certainly the main clubs, are all moving into new stadiums now. Marseille's isn't going to be a new stadium, but they're totally renovating the current one. That'll be ready next year. Lyon and Bordeaux are moving into into new grounds. They've got the European Championships in France in 2016, so that's why, you know, all this work is going down now. But it's not quite as straightforward as that, because a lot of the financing is done publicly. So it's, you know, it's public funds, which means that, you know, the revenues aren't all going into the club's coffers. So France have got a long way to go, but I think in terms of marketing the league, in terms of improving, you know, the infrastructure, it is vital to have far better stadium. You know, not just because of the gate money, but, you know, the product looks so much better when you're playing in good full stadiums. And until France have that, I think they're going to find it very hard to compete with Germany or with England.
Matt, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show today talking. I'm afraid we've taken up far too much of your time. I completely lost track of how long we kept you here. But it's been an absolute pleasure to talk all things Ligue 1 with you. Almost getting lost in the world of French football there. Maybe I should start heading over to Paris at some point, mate.
No, it's my fault. It's my fault. I talked for too long. I think that's the main problem. I've got to give shorter answers.
No. We could, honestly, we would happily have you on for 45 minutes every show if we could, mate. Thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care and have a wonderful afternoon. Matt Spiro there, French football broadcast legend, joining us here on World Football Daily. You can follow Matt at Matt Spiro, all one word, all a lowercase, MATTSPIRO.
Matt Spiro. Juice, I'm sorry, but I feel as though I failed you as a producer. I was completely uninterested in doing my job at this point in time, and I was just thoroughly enthralled in listening to what Matt Spiro had to say about French football that I wasn't keeping track of time. And so we, I mean, wow, 20 minutes later wow. I just feel like I've been just drenched in French football. And I'm loving it. You know, I'm absolutely loving it, man.
No sexual connotation whatsoever there, Rav. It sounded like you filthy, filthy man on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. But I tell you what, the games tonight could well be better than sex, I tell you. With France, the Coupe de France taking place, with Marseille taking on PSG in Paris. Once again, round two in the space of just a few days. They met on Sunday. Will Wednesday prove any different for Joey Barton and the Marseille boys? And of course tonight, Bayern Munich taking on Borussia Dortmund in the German Cup as well. We're going to have a little bit of a look at that as we get ready to wrap up the show coming up next right here on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily.